and Everton have the chance to seal their place in the sixth round. Leighton Baines against Tremel, no mistake, 3-1 Everton, and that will surely be enough for Everton to reach the quarterfinals.
It's important that I can put on the pitch what the fans want, what the fans feel proud of, and that will take me no long to understand that, and I can't wait to get soaked with their thoughts and how quickly we can become a strong unit.
Roberto Martinez has really built up excitement around Everton this season. Sexy football and launching a real challenge for a European place this year. This is Prem Chat, I'm Dave O'Grady. It's Toffee Chat this week, and I'm delighted to be joined firstly by Simon Jonas, admin for the Everton page on Facebook, a page with 11,000 followers dedicated to Everton Football Club and the fans. Simon, you're very welcome to the programme. You're heavily involved with this. You do a lot of match updates, a lot of news about the club, and I guess real banter between fans as well.
Yeah, we have a little bit. The Liverpool fans like to come find us if they get a result, and we obviously like to go and find them if we get a result.
What is it about opposition fans, actually, when you said that about the Liverpool fans? I always find that opposition fans always seek out their biggest rivals' forums and that, and they join up and they just want to, you know, they say things to fish and get a few words in edgeways and stir the pot a little bit. No doubt you guys have a lot of that on your page.
Yeah, we do get a lot of them coming in with their banter, and obviously the admins over there, who do have a lot of control over what we do like to get a few bits in ourselves.
Terrific, Simon, I'd say, for match updates though as well, you know, because there'd be a lot of Everton fans that are overseas and around the world, really, as the profile of the club is kind of spreading far and wide. You guys, you know, you're updating fans and keeping them in the loop, really.
Yeah, we try and get updates out almost every hour of the average day of the UK. We do get some during the night as well, but we'll try and be first on the doors for any news that comes out, as well as promoting some of our own self-made content and throwing in the odd bit of banter as well.
Onwards and upwards, and as I suppose social media goes these days, it's only going to get better and better. I'm also delighted to be joined on the show for the first time by Luke Liddy, freelance journalist and writer for teamtalk.com. He does the Fan Zone blog on Chelsea FC, obviously Everton taking on Chelsea, so we wanted to get a fan of the opposing team. Luke, thanks for joining us. You also write your own personal blog called Sport, Society and Poor Opinion, but no doubt your opinion is very good and you're looking forward to the game this week.
How are you, Dave? Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the game this weekend. I think it'll be a tough one. I've enjoyed watching Everton this season. They've really kind of bought into the Martinez style of play, so they'll be getting the ball down and playing around. So I think it'll be an open game. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Terrific stuff. And Warren Doyle also joins us, blogger for the Everton Fan Zone on teamtalk.com. Warren, it's terrific to have you on the show. What kind of articles do you write for your piece on the website? No doubt you're taking an overall positive attitude this season.
Yeah, hello first of all, David, and thank you very much for having me on. I just try to write things a lot of the time as a, you know, what I say and how I feel about things, and, you know, and I mean, for argument's sake, a couple of weeks back I wrote an article about, you know, Gareth Barry and how well he's been playing and sort of touting him, perhaps a little bit biased, I suppose, but touting him for a possible England recall. You know, for me, the moment, I think he's a lot of what England needs. He's playing very well for us and he's just been fantastic. So they're the type of things I look to write for, but obviously as well, you know, reviewing and previewing the games before and the games coming up as well. So that's what I look to try and do, and just sort of try and tell it as I see it, and for what my opinion's worth, hopefully people read and, you know, and either disagree or agree. So that's it, really.
And Warren, I suppose a lot of people will say that it's very easy to write articles and match reviews and previews looking ahead when things are going your way. Everton have had a few seasons and a few disappointing results going back through the years where it really is hard, I suppose, doing what you do to motivate yourself. I mean, sometimes you're probably in that situation where you feel, oh, I just kind of want to break from it all. But then again, maintaining a constant communication is always important.
Yeah, that's it, of course. I mean, as you say, we have had the odd dodgy results here and there, you know, when you've got to, you know, try and pick yourself up and, you know, get over that as a supporter first and foremost. But I think, you know, if you know, if you enjoy writing or if you enjoy, you know, the type of thing that yourself, David's doing, you know, broadcasting or, you know, producing a podcast, then you know, you find, you know, the words or whatever you need to say or write, and that's it. But no, it is definitely a lot easier when, you know, when you've had a great result or, you know, when you've got had a big win to write something, or when you know, saying nice things about a certain player or the team itself, or, you know, even the manager. That's definitely true.
Well, there's been a lot of progress this season for the Toffees, Simon. One of the things that really capitalises that is the performances in the FA Cup. We've seen a fantastic win at home to Swansea. Really, really, really good, really important. From a Roberto Martinez point of view, do you see a few comparisons with what he's doing with Wigan? You know, you've been getting decent draws going forward, but that doesn't excuse the very good performances. Everton really deserve to be where they are so far.
We've been putting in good performances. Sadly, we don't seem to be able to do it for the full 90 minutes, as I'm sure Warren will attest to. We're one or the other half team at the minute. Why, I don't quite know. Maybe it's the fitness of the lads getting into the whole new passing style, and we do lack that final bit of penetration up front. But as the change in philosophies have been going, it's a huge, huge change for the boys, and they've taken it on really, really well. And so far, the results are looking very positive. For a change, we're not going into any matches fearing anyone. And as a fan myself, I've got to say that's one of the better things about the Martinez era.
Yeah, because we've seen the tricky away tie that you guys have had to play in the FA Cup, and a lot of people maybe in previous years would have made the point that Everton might not have gotten over the line, you know, where the pitch isn't in great condition and, you know, having to play in difficult surroundings and when teams are just out there to kick lumps out of you guys. But Everton have risen to the challenge. They've got the strength in depth. And is the FA Cup really a possibility now going forward? Apart from the likes of Man City, you guys should really feel that you can win it.
Well, there's only Man City, Arsenal, who are a major, major contenders left in there. Otherwise, you're looking at Hull and Sunderland. You know, it's getting to the point where there's only a few really top quality European perennial clubs in there, so yeah, we've got a great chance. And let's face it, Roberto did it last year with Wigan, so you can't discount us yet, and we can win any match if we play on our day.
Yeah, Warren, to come to you on that point, the feeling that you can win any match on your day, and you know, Roberto Martinez has really developed a bit of a strength in depth with this Wigan side, and having the FA Cup like that has been huge for you guys. The fact that you can use a lot of players in the background and give them run outs and, you know, keep players in good form.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I just going back to the FA Cup, I mean, for me, it is the priority this season. Personally, as a supporter, I'm desperate to see us lift the trophy again. It's been far too long. I mean, 95 was the last time we won the FA Cup, and we've won anything. So personally, for me, the FA Cup is the priority. And, you know, we were supposed to be playing Crystal Palace on the Wednesday night before the Swansea game, and the team was announced before it was obviously postponed, and it wasn't the strongest looking team on paper. And then, you know, a few people were doubting whether Roberto would go for, you know, a supposed stronger side on the Sunday against Swansea, or would he keep, you know, that relatively supposed weaker side. And, you know, when the team come out against Swansea, it was the strongest possible side it looked on paper. So that to me sends a statement that, you know, the FA Cup is a priority, and I'm sure Roberto is well aware of the importance of it to us fans. I mean, I don't know what, you know, Simon may feel about this, but there's been a bit of talk about, you know, if fourth was a possibility, what would you prefer, fourth or the FA Cup? And of course, you know, fourth would bring the financial rewards, you know, playing in the Champions League, and that could help us progress, I suppose. But I suppose I'm old-fashioned in my views that, you know, you don't get anything for finishing fourth, in, you know, apart from obviously the Champions League, but you don't get you're not going to look back in 30 years' time and talk about that glorious fourth place finish. You're going to, you know, your memories, you're going to have a lift in silverware, and it's pleasing to see Roberto, you know, placing that importance on the FA Cup. And, you know, as you say, Arsenal in the next round, in previous years, we might have been terrified of going to the Emirates and hoped for a replay. And I think you'd only have to look at our result at Old Trafford this season when we went to United and got a result that we certainly won't be fearing them. And we'll certainly go there and have a go. And, you know, they've got Bayern Munich. I know they had a bad result, Arsenal against Munich in the first leg, but they've got to go to Germany and still have a hope of being in the Champions League. And that's 3 days after they play us, which is going to be a demanding fixture for them. So, fingers crossed, we've got a very good chance. And, you know, hopefully, if we don't win on the day, we can bring them back to Goodison and get the result there.
2-0 down for Arsenal. They're definitely going to have to go for it in Germany. And will they play a weakened team against us because of that? I can honestly see it. It's the type of thing that Wenger has done many times in the past. So I do believe we've definitely got a chance away at Arsenal. And as for the FA Cup and fourth place theory, I have a little analogy for that. They're like the Minogue sisters. The FA Cup being Danny Minogue and fourth place being Kylie. At the end of the day, you know a Kylie's going to be better.
Better in
you're
going to
like
the long
it more.
One.
It's going to be so much better awards going forward. But the dirtiness and the filth of the Danny is just something you really want as a fan.
Yeah, and you want to, but I suppose making a case for the FA Cup, you want a couple of trophies in the cabinet. You don't want it to be full of cobwebs like the Arsenal trophy cabinet. I want to move things on, lads, and look at the weekend's clash and bring in Luke Liddy into the programme here. And Chelsea fan Luke, looking from the outside in, and you're looking at this Everton team that have been getting better and better as the season goes by, and there's been a lot of good performances. We'll talk about the derby defeat to Liverpool shortly, but as a Chelsea fan going up against Everton, it's not a sure thing that you guys are going to roll over them. This could definitely go either way.
Oh, definitely. They've got some great, talented players. I mean, Seamus Coleman, coming from an Irish perspective, has been great this season. James McCarthy as well. Yeah, Gareth Barry gave them more stability in the midfield. So they are a different prospect. They've always been pretty good in the big games. But I do think that it's going to be a pretty tough game this weekend. If they can keep Hazard and the likes of Hazard and Willian quiet, then there's no reason why they couldn't get a result against us.
Yeah, Warren, is that a little bit of a concern? The fact that you're going away to Chelsea, and Chelsea, of course, they will have that Champions League in the back of their minds at the same time. Is it a good time to be playing at Stamford Bridge?
It's been a funny season, hasn't it? I mean, you know, there's times when it looked as if, you know, Chelsea might pull away or City might pull away or Arsenal themselves were in great form at one point, and, you know, and no one was looking forward to playing them. And I mean, you look at City at the minute, they've had a little wobble by their standards, and, you know, they look beatable again. And Chelsea a few weeks ago, and certainly at the minute, they looked as if they were going to, you know, run away with it. And then, you know, they got a disappointment, I suppose, from their point of view, draw at home to West Ham. But obviously they're a phenomenal team, and, you know, they've got some fantastic players there. And as well, you know, the manager there, he seems to build teams that get results, that grind out results. And I mean, I hope I'm not being too unfair when I say this, but, you know, quite machine-like. I mean, obviously they've got the flair and the potential to win a game, you know, playing some brilliant football. But when they need to, they can grind out a result. And it may go that way, I don't know. I'm hoping a lot of our games have been quite open this season. So, you know, maybe it might be a bit more like that again on Saturday. And, you know, we'll see. But it's obviously going to be a very tough game. We haven't got the greatest records down at Chelsea, so we'll just have to see how we go. You know, as we keep saying, you know, we'll go there and we'll have a go, and we certainly won't sit back and defend a draw. We'll give it a go.
Yeah, well, obviously it is a very tough task for any Premier League side coming to Stamford Bridge, because Mourinho has such a good record there. But I do feel that with the pace of, we'll say, Seamus Coleman coming from the back, if Hazard is kind of shirking his defensive responsibilities, there's the ability to kind of catch Chelsea on the break. I think it will definitely be a tight game, but I can definitely see a draw out of it. I'd be obviously hoping for a win, but Chelsea have kind of taken a small dip in form recently, so I wouldn't be surprised with a 1-1, 2-2 draw.
Yeah, and of course Everton got that fantastic win at Old Trafford. Seems like a lot of clubs are taking points off Old Trafford this day, but nevertheless, it was terrific to see the Toffees do that. Simon, just a point on the squad, and this fantastic team that Roberto Martinez has built. It really has a deep with quality, you know, players coming off the bench. It's probably for the first time in a long time that you really feel there's a belief in it, and you know, the style of play can change. I remember watching that FA Cup tie, I was looking at Everton hold the ball so well. It was really remarkable. I was listening to a lot of pundits. They were saying that the two fullbacks are probably the best fullbacks in the Premier League at the moment, and their impact of the likes of Baines and Coleman, they're offering Everton so much. And you know, with there's a mix of the doggedness of the likes of McCarthy and Barry with the flair of Morales. It's almost the perfect combination for a team, Simon.
We're getting there. There's still a lot to be worked on. I do believe we do lack that final third currently. And certainly next year we're going to have problems replacing the loan players we have coming in. But Roberto's got the ability, unlike David Moyes, to make a substitute and change a match. I mean, one of the things David Moyes was famed for was his inability to change a result, whereas Martinez really will throw all in to get the win. And in fairness to him, he's achieved it on quite a few occasions. One of those occasions being against Swansea, when we were looking flat at 1-1, he threw on, surprisingly, Osman and Naismith for two of our better players in Barkley and the scorer Traore, who wasn't fit, in fairness. And they completely changed the match. And Roberto's done it a few times this season, and long may it continue, really.
Indeed. Simon, who's your standout player? I mean, a lot of people would say, a lot of English fans are really excited about Barkley and believe that he should be on the plane to Brazil. Morales, the Belgian sensation, he just seems to give him the ball in the right position and he'll score these wonder goals. It's been a remarkable season. Who so far has been the standout, if you can pick one?
Oh, that's quite easy, really. It has to be Coleman.
Really?
And that's not just saying because this is an Irish show. He's come on leaps and bounds. His defensive abilities have improved over the last couple of seasons. And now he's been learning off Baines, and his ability to chip in goals, especially things like the goal against Southampton.
Yeah, remarkable goal, actually.
He's just been absolutely fantastic. And we really missed him the last few games where he was injured. And I really do take him as our standout player currently.
Warren, what do you make about that? Would you echo those sentiments about Seamus Coleman? Of course, joining from Sligo Rovers for an unbelievable cheap fee, it's probably fair to say. And then David Moyes loaned him out to Blackpool, where he helped them get promoted. And then back up in the Premier League, he was a fantastic season. A couple of mistakes. He rides his Irish luck a lot, as the song as the song tends to go. But having said that, this season he really has come on leaps and bounds, as Simon said.
He's been tremendous. I mean, we saw a little bit of his potential last season as well. And you know, as you mentioned, when he was on loan at Blackpool, that helped his development. But I'd just also like to point out another Irish player, and again, not just because we're talking to an Irish podcast, but James McCarthy has been phenomenal for my you know, liking.
He's been solid.
He's been brilliant. Yeah, I mean, he's just slotted right in with that partnership with Gareth Barry in the middle. But he doesn't seem to have tiredness. He just keeps going. He's gone a little bit off the boil, as has Coleman. But I think with Coleman, it's more because he's recently come back from injury and he's just getting back into the rhythm again. I think with McCarthy, it's just a case of, you know, the team hasn't been playing as well in periods, so maybe his game suffered a little bit. But he never hides. He never sort of goes out of games. He's always in the thick of it, and he's been a tremendous sign. There was a lot of question marks over him, you know, particularly his fee as well, and a lot of people saying, you know, why are we going back to Wigan to sign, you know, players from a relegated team? But you know, as Simon said, for my money, it's easily Coleman or McCarthy. I mean, people might say other players. People might, you know, go with like you said, David, Kevin Morales, who's been, you know, brilliant probably been our best player in the last 2 months. You know, others may say Baines has, you know, provided, you know, another run of excellent performances. And you know, Jags, Phil Jagielka has been solid at the back along with Distan, but definitely the standout performer has been, for my money, Coleman and James McCarthy.
Yeah, Luke, this must be music to your ears as well, hearing the likes of Seamus Coleman and James McCarthy. Of course, James McCarthy, a lot of people argued when he was at Wigan, probably one of the most mobile players in the Premier League. He seems to go all over the pitch. And, you know, we see at Everton this year, he's been given a certain role by Roberto Martinez, and he does it so well, and he's very well capable of breaking up the opposition's style of play.
Yeah, he's a gritty player. He'll get stuck in and he can pick out a pass. I think he really does have all the attributes of a really good midfield player, which is obviously great news for the Irish national team. I've really enjoyed watching him playing, and now we have McGeady playing there as well, and obviously Coleman. So it's a great setup for them to improve and get better for the national team.
Yeah, Warren, to come to yourself on other players that we have coming in, the likes, as Luke said, Aidan McGeady has been signed, and we've seen Traore scoring his first goal for the club, a remarkable little cheeky back heel type flick. No doubt you'll be hoping for much more of that. Some good signings there by Roberto Martinez.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, a lot of people have criticised the way we've gone about our transfer business by bringing in these loan players. You know, and I'd rather see us bring in a player for a year or two than, you know, go out and sign a player who might financially cripple us. And, you know, these players have helped us in our progress. And whilst they, you know, are obviously going to go back to their parent clubs, you know, hopefully we'll have some young players coming through who can replace them, and we can hopefully sign a few as well with hopefully a bit of transfer money. We'll have to wait and see. But our transfer policy has been really good. I've been really impressed, particularly, you know, at times with Moyes. He was a bit selective of his signings, and he took his time over them. He was very careful. And to his credit, he signed a lot of brilliant players, and a lot of brilliant players, you know, on bargain prices. You know, you think of the likes of Cahill, who cost $1.5 million, you know, Mikel Arteta, who cost $2 million, and players like that of real quality. But what I like about Roberto Martinez,
the selling business of Roberto Martinez, he made a great deal with Fellaini.
Incredible. I mean, I still really rate Fellaini. I think Fellaini will eventually come good. He was phenomenal for us at one point, and he's just been a bit unfortunate at United. But, you know, as you mentioned, the money we got out of that deal, you know, that we were able to perhaps use that money to strengthen other areas and you know, improve contracts of the players like Leighton Baines and things like that. But no, I've been really impressed with how early we done our business, and we got our players and we wanted, and we kept our big players as well that we wanted, with the likes of Baines, Coleman, you know, and Phil Jagielka and players of that ilk.
Fellaini is definitely someone who takes time to settle into a team, so I'm a great believer in that he will come good as well. But the money which we got for him and the money that we've used, we only replaced him with McCarthy for $13 million and got the loan of Barry. We haven't particularly used the money. There should, and I will say should, be money there next season for Roberto to strengthen with. So, yeah, there's bright hopes for the future, providing that he gets backed.
Yeah, hopefully he will get backed. And I don't like talking about negatives on the show, lads, but I think the footballing world were really disappointed to see the injury to Oviedo. It was really disappointing, it was a bad one, Warren. You know, a blow, because he seemed to be coming off the bench a lot, but really bringing a whole new lease of life to the team. And that was really kind of Roberto Martinez's style. But you have the likes of Lukaku as well coming back from injury. With all these players, and I know you're saying about the loan deals, having said that, if you had them all fit, there could be perhaps a greater challenge on the league than there is at the moment. I know they're in a terrific position, but had everybody been fit, Warren, it could have been even better than you are now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were just getting into a rhythm before Christmas with the likes of Barkley and Deulofeu, and, you know, Lukaku was banging in the goals as well. And then we just, you know, which every team gets, we can't complain. Every team has injuries, every team has suspensions, but we just seem to hit a glut of our, you know, main important players at the time. You know, Barkley obviously got injured, and, you know, when Deulofeu got a bad hamstring injury, which kept him out for a few months. And, you know, as you mentioned there, Oviedo, you know, that was although we probably wouldn't be classed as our best player and most technically gifted player, he's just got this warmth with Evertonians at the moment because, you know, he was on the bench for a good part of the year, you know, in Jordan Moyes' last season, and we never heard any complaints from him. You know, he was happy, he was working hard, and then, you know, we all feared the worst when Leighton Baines got injured. You know, what are we going to do without our best left-back? And Oviedo came in, and you know, not only did he put in some performances, but added some really important goals as well to the team, and it was so sad when he got injured. But there's been a few videos of him put out this week where he's back sort of on the bike. You know, I know it seems incredible.
His wife confirmed that was actually recent as well, so that's definitely a true video.
Definitely. I mean, it was warming to see, you know, as I say, that he was back, you know, and it seems incredible after such a bad leg break, but it was great to see. And he's just one of them. He just seems to get Everton and what Everton's about and seems to really love the club. And, you know, we all can't wait for him to get back. He, you know, the fans are still singing his name, and there's not been many players who've been injured and out for a while who the fans are still singing his name, you know, even while he's injured. And he's got a real connection with Evertonians at the minute. But going back to the original point, sorry, I think we're getting into that stage now where all the big players are coming back, and we can maybe mount a late stage in the league. We'll have to wait and see. But this is a test on Saturday against Chelsea. And, you know, it's time for the likes of your Barclays, your Delafeus, and, you know, and players like that to come in and prove just what good players they are.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Alcaraz is also to come back. And I know certainly Everton fans haven't seen the best in him. Luke, I want to bring you in firstly on this point because I want to focus on the negatives, if there has been any. Maybe negatives for Toffees fans, but certainly not for the neutral. The two terrific derbies against Liverpool were unbelievable to watch, Luke. Of course, the match in Goodison was fantastic. It was end-to-end stuff, goals galore. Then it was the Anfield rout, and I suppose it's probably fair to say, Luke, when any team plays Liverpool, when Liverpool are in that kind of form, it's very hard to play against them. It just happened to be their next-door neighbours.
Yeah, they've been phenomenal this year at home, Liverpool. I think they could do it to any team in the Premier League at Anfield. Suarez, Sterling and Sturridge have been brilliant, and Gerrard has been really good as well in the middle. So I wouldn't take too much kind of... Obviously, it's big for Evertonians, but I wouldn't be too disheartened because they really can't... I'd say they could do it to most teams in the world at home on their day. When they hit top gear, they're really good, but... Going back to the game at Goodison, I really enjoyed that game. It was one of the first times I saw Delafeu, who I thought was brilliant that day. He came on and changed the game. And obviously seeing Lukaku score the two goals was great as well.
To come to yourself, Simon, on it, I know certainly the Anfield match wasn't one for Everton fans. difficult to take in the stomach, but... At the same time, it's great to see the Merseyside derby really live up to the hype.
It's very nice to see the Merseyside derbies actually being played with purely attacking football again. For many years, we've done the sort of sneak a goal and hold on type mentality or defend mentality, and it's been incredibly exhilarating to see some real end to end stuff. Going back to the Anfield derby, we just couldn't get anything going that day. And every team has its days like that. And I don't care who you are, you're going to have one bad day a season. And that really, really was ours.
Yeah, Warren, how much did it hurt? Was it like a deep stake through the heart, considering that there had been so much hope behind Everton going into this match? A lot of people said, we can't call it, we don't know who's better. This match would decide who's going to get the Champions League place like that. There was so much hype, and maybe did it get to the Everton players a little bit, or was it just the fact that Liverpool were so good?
I think, as Simon said, it was just one of them. It was, you know, our bad performance of the season, and it just happened to be that game, unfortunately. And, you know, obviously, no derby defeat is nice. No Evertonian likes
it.
It was
painful.
It was horrible, yeah. But the thing, I mean, me personally, I might burn my own thinking this, but it didn't hurt as bad for me as the season or two before when we lost at Anfield 3-0 to a Steven Gerrard hat-trick, and then the Wembley semi-final when we got beat 2-1 by them as well.
Oh, distant back pass.
Yeah, it didn't feel as bad. And the reason why I say that is because, again, it was the mentality that we were going to go there and we were going to try and play and we were going to have a go at Liverpool. And far too many times down the years, we've had an inferiority complex to them. And I think the Goodison game earlier in the season... it showed to me, I mean, as again, I could be on my own in this, but it showed to me that we weren't afraid of them in terms of, we weren't just going to sit back and let them and roll over for them and let them, comprehensively beat us. We had to go and we're going to get times and we're going to get, points with the way we play in the season where we might suffer a defeat like that. And yeah, it was painful. It wasn't great and it wasn't nice seeing the four goals go in, but that wasn't the most painful derby I've ever seen. I've seen far worse and I've felt far worse after the game. And, the thing is as well, you look at where we are now and we're still only a couple of points off and it's a huge ask to, to get near Liverpool. But I think for Evertonians now, it's not about finishing above Liverpool anymore. It's not about looking at them and wanting to be where they are. It's looking at ourselves now and we want to be up in the top four and the challenging for the league. And I know that might sound silly, but this is what the manager's come out and said. He said, I want to take Everton, I want to make them league champions again. And this is what we want to hear as fans. And
well, if certainly, Warren, if Spurs could do it 2 years ago or 3 years ago under Harry Redknapp, then certainly Everton can do it under Roberto Martinez, considering the players that he has at his disposal now.
Definitely, and as you say, we're looking forward to the summer to see who he brings in, but that's where we're aiming for now, and it might not happen. Listen, it might never happen, but at least we've got a manager now who believes that we can, and who's telling the club, who's telling the players, who's telling the press, more importantly as well, this is Everton Football Club, and we're going to do something, and I'm going to try and make this happen, and everyone's pulling in the same direction. It's been a breath of fresh air this year, it really has.
The biggest change, though, has to be the way he's embraced our history.
Correct.
The way he's brought out all the former greats and he's put them up in Finch Farm. And at the end, there's an empty picture, basically telling the players, get your picture up there in future. It's a whole different mentality, whereas David Moyes wanted nothing to do with the history. He just wanted to create his own thing. Now Roberto Martinez has come in. He's had the last league winning manager, Howard Kendall, at Finch Farm, and he's really getting involved with the community. And I'm wondering if the guy actually ever sleeps.
Yeah, I know. He's the type of manager that I think is going to be with you guys for a long, long, long time. And hopefully that's the case. He's not the kind of manager that if a big deal came from somewhere else, he'd nip off. He sees it as almost like a project, which is what he did at Wigan as well. And it's great to see. Just before we rock and roll, guys, I have to ask, as I do on every Prem Chat show, the hopes for the season, and if you were to make a bold prediction on where you'd expect Everton to be and where you'd hope. Warren, I'll come to yourself first on this. Come May and the when the parcels are being passed around on who gets Champions League, Europa places, who wins the league, if it goes down to the last day or that, where do you expect Everton to be and where do you think they're going to be?
I think it's a very, very tough ask for us to get in that top four. It's still possible and I'm sure Roberto is going to nail it into the players. Look, we're not giving up on this. We're going to aim for this and that this is our aim. But I think it's going to be a tough ask. I still believe that if we get fifth or sixth, we've had a tremendous season. A lot of pundits were writing us off before the season. You've got a manager who's took Wigan down, who's been relegated. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do very well. You've had David Moyes. How are you going to replace David Moyes? And I think if we do fifth, sixth this season, we've done tremendous. But as I mentioned earlier on in the show, I'm desperate for that trophy. And I just don't come. I'm going to make my bold prediction and say we will be in the FA Cup final. And fingers crossed we'll bring a trophy back to Merseyside and the Blue Half can celebrate, a trophy and a bit of silverware.
Indeed, Simon, would that be the dream to win the FA Cup and also finish high enough in the table?
From the word go, I said this was a transitional season for us and I still maintain that. So a decent showing in the league will do me. I'd like to see a cup run. As Warren says, the Blue Half want a trophy. So yeah, I'm going to say we're going to be pushing for the FA Cup and that's going to be our priority. We might fall away a little bit now in the league and if it's sixth, if it's seventh, if it's eighth, there's not too much of a difference there. We'll still be pushing on the European places, but maybe not quite getting there. But as long as we really go for it in the Cup, I think I'll be happy with Martinez's first season.
Fantastic stuff. And Luke, just to come to yourself as a Chelsea fan looking in on this Everton team and this Everton way of under Martinez, it's onwards and upwards for them really. Where do you think Everton are going to finish and what do you think would be a good Premier League finish for them?
Well, obviously the two boys have a lot more to say about it. I'd say sixth. I think Spurs are kind of kicking on a bit. I think sixth would be a good finishing position and obviously a good showing in the cup. I think one thing that they have now is Martinez, who he has the ability to inspire his players, which we saw at Wigan. Fair enough, they did end up getting relegated but at the end, but the fans will, they'll always cherish that FA Cup victory. And he's a very loyal manager, so I think they're in good hands. And I wish them all the best.
And but you don't wish them all the best at the weekend, Luke. What if you give us a score, what do you think it's going to be?
I am really hoping for a 2-1, but I think it could be 1-1 or 2-2.
Be interesting to see how Mourinho reacts to that result. Just before I go, lads, Simon, to come to yourself, for any Everton fans listening to the show or any football fans in general, how do they get in touch with the fantastic Everton page on Facebook that you guys do? Is it just search for the Everton page?
It's just simply search for the Everton page on Facebook, and we're the first one that comes up when you pipe that in. There's an app in the Play Store as well, and I believe that'll be on the Apple Store soon as well, as we're trying to bring ourselves more into this century.
Yeah, amazing stuff. There's no doubt that you won't even need, soon people won't, your fans won't even need to go to the matches. They'll have everything right there in their pocket. Warren, for
you'll never get an Evertonian agreeing with that.
Warren, for yourself, on the blog on teamtalk.com, how do they search for you? What's the best way for them to read your stuff?
Yeah, if you go on teamtalk.com, there's a section there called blogs. If you click on that, it's got all the other clubs on there as well. I think they've got every club in the Football League on there, so if you're interested in reading about, you know, obviously your team might be playing, you know, your opponents that weekend or whatever, but I'm obviously under the Everton section. It's got a list of all my previous blogs there as well, so I regularly update that and send that to Team Talk, so I'll be on, you know, I'm on there every couple of weeks, so check me out there if you get the time.
Brilliant stuff. And Luke, you've got a couple of blogs. I know you're involved with teamtalk.com as well, and you've got the other blog, Sports Society and Poor Opinion. How do people find you?
You can write in Liddy Blog into Google. It's just a WordPress blog called Sports Society and Poor Opinion. You should be able to find it on Google, and the Team Talk is the exact same way that you find Warren's blogs.
Fantastic stuff. Well, lads, I wish Everton the very best of luck for the whole season going forward. It's going to be a cracking game at the weekend, and no doubt from an Irish point of view, the influence there will go on, and hopefully with Darren Gibson back, we should have three Irish players. Maybe they'll recall Shane Duffy from Yeovil as well. We'll have four Irish players running the show at Everton. Thanks a million for joining us on Prem Chat. We'll do it all again very, very soon. Thank you.